This is VOA News in Washington. I'm Jeff Custer. Israeli warplanes Saturday have struck parts of the Gaza Strip in relentless bombardments, including some of the dwindling slivers of land Palestinians had been told to evacuate to in the territory south. The latest strikes came after the U.S. vetoed a United Nations resolution demanding an immediate humanitarian ceasefire in Gaza, despite the resolution being backed by the vast majority of U.N. Security Council members. VOA's Cindy Sain reports.
United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres deployed the rarely used Article 99 of the U.N. Charter this week to seek a ceasefire to prevent what he says is a catastrophe with a potentially irreversible impact on the Palestinian people and the entire Middle East. Robert Wood, the U.S. Deputy Ambassador to the United Nations, spoke Friday.
We do not support calls for an immediate ceasefire. This would only plant the seeds for the next war because Hamas has no desire to see a durable peace.
During a press conference Thursday, Secretary of State Antony Blinken said he told Israeli leaders the suffering inflicted on Palestinian civilians in the north must not be repeated in the south.
It remains imperative that Israel put a premium on civilian protection.
Cindy Sain, VOA News.
Ukraine's human rights ombudsman has expressed hope a coalition of countries formed to facilitate the return of Ukrainian children illegally deported by Russia will be able to come up with a faster mechanism to repatriate them. Over 19,000 children are still believed to be in Russia or in occupied regions of Ukraine. Human rights envoy Dmytro Lubinets spoke to reporters following the first meeting of the National Coalition of Countries for the Return of Ukrainian Children in Kyiv, which was formed based on a recommendation by Canada. Lubinets said the meeting had highly positive results, but he urged it to find concrete mechanisms to return the children. This is VOA News. White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said Saturday the United States, South Korea, and Japan have agreed on new initiatives to respond to North Korea's threats in cyberspace, satellite launches, and cyber and cryptocurrency abuses. The National Security Advisors of the U.S., South Korea, and Japan met in Seoul Saturday as Pyongyang warned it would deploy more spy satellites. Sullivan said the meeting followed up on commitments set forth at the Camp David trilateral summit hosted by U.S. President Joe Biden in August, where leaders of the three allies pledged to deepen security and economic cooperation.
And together, we've deepened collaboration among our Coast Guards, a step that will lead to more coordinated capacity-building efforts with more partners across the Indo-Pacific. Because that's really what this trilateral relationship is all about. Building a more free, more open, more prosperous, and more secure Indo-Pacific.
North Korean state media repeated its stance Saturday that Pyongyang was determined to launch more spy satellites soon, calling space development part of its right to defend itself. Island nations participating in the UN climate summit, known as COP28, in Dubai Saturday, called for stronger commitments to fossil fuel phase-outs and renewable energy. Their call comes the day after it was reported the leader of the powerful oil cartel OPEC wrote to member countries earlier this week, urging them to block any language in a climate summit agreement that would phase out or phase down fossil fuels. The focus of the climate summit is to meet the goals set under the 2015 Paris Climate Change Agreement to limit the rise in global temperatures to 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial standards. Marshall Island Minister of Foreign Affairs John Silk was among the island nation representatives speaking Saturday. Those nations perhaps feel the effects of climate change most dramatically as their land is beginning to vanish under rising sea levels.
We will not go silently to our watery graves. Therefore, we cannot and will not accept an outcome from the COP that does not set us on a course for a future that stays within 1.5 temperature.
One day after a judge granted a stay to Texas's strident abortion ban, a woman in Kentucky is suing for the right to get an abortion. AP's Ed Donahue reports.
The woman is identified as Jane Doe and is about 8 weeks pregnant.
These bans are designed to deprive people of their right to privacy and bodily autonomy under the Kentucky Constitution.
Rebecca Gabron with Planned Parenthood of Kentucky says the ban overwhelmingly harms people who already are facing immense barriers. The conservative group, the Family Foundation, calls the challenge meritless. The filing comes a day after a judge in Texas gave a pregnant woman there whose fetus has a fatal diagnosis permission to get an abortion. I'm Ed Donahue.
In Washington, I'm Jeff Custer. This is VOA News.